Well, it seems like it's come and gone real fast. Amen. And I, again, I do appreciate the opportunity. And I know that many times that December meeting is an inconvenience just because of all that's going on. But I sure appreciate the good spirit of the Lord meeting with us this week. Amen. And definitely have had good liberty to be able to preach. And I know that I've said it every night, but I don't ever want to take the goodness of God for granted. And I don't ever want to get to the place where I feel like I deserve all this. Church, I do want to thank you just for rolling out the red carpet for me and just treat me like royalty. I don't deserve that whatsoever, but the comfortable place to stay, I appreciate that. And then also just the good meals and just the good fellowship with Brother Evans. And I just had a good time this week, and I appreciate you just treating me like family as I've been here this week. And Brother Evans, thank you again for entrusting your pulpit, allowing me to be able to stand behind it this week. I do want to thank those of you that have gone by the table this week and have picked up things off of our CD table. And everything that we do make on the table goes right back into the ministry. And for many years now, everything that really we would always start around July and go through the end of the year, and all the proceeds that we would make off the table would go towards a mission trip that myself or me and my wife would go on. But I just took off this year in January. I'm not going to go on a mission trip. And we're just trying to upgrade some of our office equipment as far as the ministry is concerned, computers and duplicators and things like that. So I just want to let you know that what you have bought off the table, or if you want to buy anything tonight off the table, it is going right back towards the ministry. And let me just introduce something. All the single CDs are $5 a piece. And then I have some series sets back there as well. I got a series set back there called the Consistent Christian Life series set. Got a series set entitled Finish Well. I've got a series set on the precepts of the prodigal son. And then I've got a series set, if you got any lost family members, got a series set back there. My wife put together all of her favorite gospel messages that I preach. And matter of fact, she even wrote a couple of them for me to eat too, amen. But I do have some series set. But let me introduce something to you. And it's called the CD of the Month Club. And basically, you put your name and address on here and pick whatever two CDs you want off the table tonight for December and January. And every other month, you get two of my latest preaching CDs in the mailbox, and you get an equivalent of 12 CDs for the entire year. And it's $50 for the entire year. And we are able to take cash, checks, or credit cards. And church, let me say this, that you go by the table, and we want to put some, if you don't like the preaching on the CDs, they always make good coasters for your drinks, amen. So, but as far as my wife and I are concerned, the most important thing you can pick up off our table is one of our prayer cards, amen. And we definitely covet the prayers of God's people. It's got our email address, and you can even look it on our website and see where we're going to be at from week to week. And just pray for us as we travel across the country. You pray that God will give us not only safety, but God will keep his hand upon our lives and on our ministry. And I just want to be faithful to God, amen. And so thank you again, Brother Evans, for allowing me to be able to be here. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis. Genesis in chapter number 3. Genesis in chapter number 3. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, church, I'm going to preach. I like just getting back to the basics every now and then, amen? And I'm going to preach about the most bottom of the shelf message that you could ever hear tonight. I'm going to do that. And I understand that many of us, the things that we'll preach on tonight, we learned this when we was a junior age kid. If we grew up in church, if you grew up in church, I didn't, but if you grew up in church, you learned this when you were a kid. But every now and then, my preacher used to say, repetition is the key to learning, amen? And so I want to talk to us just a very simple thought tonight about walking with God, about walking with God. You understand, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Many times as I go out to eat with preachers, and as you can tell, I do a whole lot of that, amen, and appreciate Brother Richard taking us out for Mexican tonight, and had a good time there. But as I sit down and talk with preachers, and many times I just sit there and listen, especially to older men of God, many of them say, and they've probably been saying it as long as I've been in the ministry, but I've really been noticed in the last few years, they say, really the majority of what I'm preaching to my people is just that dedicated daily walk with God. I was with a preacher in West Virginia some time ago. He'd been pastoring that church for over 25 years. And tears were streaming down his face, and he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I believe that I'm preaching to my people from a book that they never read and telling them about a God that they don't even know. And I want to talk to us tonight about that sincere walk with God. Genesis chapter number 3, if you find your place, let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 3, my phone and my watch just vibrated. The picture just came through, Brother Evans. Amen. Genesis in chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 8 tonight. Genesis in chapter number 3, and look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. And Lord, we sure do thank you, Lord, for first loving us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we've come to assemble, Lord. And I hope that there's not a person under the sound of my voice tonight on this last night of revival as far as the calendar is concerned. It doesn't have to be the last night of revival for our own individual lives and our hearts tonight. But dear God, I pray that there's not a person in the sound of my voice that they've come to hear from Chris Dallas. But Lord, I pray that they've come to hear from heaven. And Lord, I come to you tonight. Lord, I'd rather sit down and allow somebody else to come and preach, Lord, than to stand and open up the Word of God and preach to your people without having the power of God upon my life. So Lord, I ask you again that you'd empty me of myself, fill me with thy spirit, and allow the Word of God to penetrate the hearts, Lord, only like you can, and speak to hearts individually only like you can. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage the discouraged. I pray that you'd lift up the brokenhearted. And Lord, again, we ask you this midweek church service, Lord, this last night of the putting Christ back in Christmas revival, Lord, that if there be anybody lost here tonight, that you'd save them by the grace of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Allow me again, and back to the basics type of message, allow me to lay a very basic, a very bottom of the shelf, very elementary foundation tonight. Then we'll get right into the Word of God. You'll understand tonight, if you're a Bible believer, that there is no such thing as evolution. You and I, every single one of us, we were not evolved from a monkey, amen? Although some of you teen boys may smell like a monkey from time to time, amen? But you understand, we were all, every single one of us, were created in the image and the likeness of an almighty God. And the reason that God created each and every one of us, he created us for no other reason than for his pleasure and to have fellowship with his creation. And the first man that God created, I know that we know this, but the first man that God created was that man named Adam. And God gave his creation, Adam, a commandment. He said, Adam, he said, you can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you'll find that Adam, as you read the Word of God, that Adam named the beast of the field. He named the fowl of the air. But God saw that it was not good for Adam to be left alone. So he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. He took a rib out of Adam and he made a woman. Now Adam has a companion. Her name is Eve. And you'll find in Genesis chapter number 3, the serpent, which is a picture of Satan, he begins to question, he begins to deny the word of God. And can we stop right there and say this tonight, church, that any man or movement that ever questions or denies the word of God is always satanically motivated to begin with. And he began to say, yea, if God said, and she said, well, we can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that we eat us thereof, we're going to surely die. And you'll find the serpent saying, well, you're not going to die, but you'll see yourself as gods. And the Bible says that she partook of the fruit, and she did give her husband, and he did eat. Now you understand, God gave Adam, his creation, the commandment. So when Adam partook of that fruit, Adam committed sin, and that's the compromise of man. So first of all, we see the creation of man. Second of all, we see the commandment to man. Third of all, we see the companion for man. And then now, number four, we see the compromise of man. And you understand, God kept up with his end of the deal. And when Adam partook of that fruit, the penalty of that sin was added to his life, the penalty of death. But you understand, the sin that Adam committed, it not only affected Adam, but it affected every man, woman, boy, and girl from that day forward to tonight in 2018. The reason, because of Adam's sin, that's the reason that you and I are sinners tonight. You understand? You understand, when I became a dope addict and I was an alcoholic before I got saved, that's not what made me a sinner. It was sin, but I am a sinner. You are a sinner because of that one man's sin in the garden when he partook of that forbidden fruit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore as by one man, who was that one man? Adam. Sin entered to the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We see the condemnation of man now. We see in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We see in Romans chapter 20, verse number 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So now we see the creation of man. We see the commandment to man. We see the companion for man, the compromise of man. We see the condemnation to man. But praise God, as I read my Bible a little bit further, I see the compassion to man, amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God committeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was a penalty that must be paid. It was the penalty of death, but thank God, over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross for your sin and for my sin, amen. You understand, there was a broken fellowship between God and man when Adam partook of that fruit. But praise God, that fellowship was restored through the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, the Bible says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And church, the same God that provided a way for man to escape the eternal flames of hell, and the same God that allows our heart to beat and our brain to function, and the same God that created all 7.5 billion folks on planet Earth, is the same God of heaven that wants to spend one-on-one time with you and with me every single day. Talking about walking with God. You understand, the word walk, that demonstrates a furtherance. That demonstrates a moving forward. You understand, when we walk, we're not staying in the same place, but we're going forward for God, as we talked about last night. You understand, if you're not walking with God, you're staying in the same place. And if you have a wicked lifestyle before you were saved, like we talked about last night, all you're going to do is stay in the past. All you're going to do is dwell in the past. But the only way to get out of the past is we've got to go forward. And we go forward by walking with God. Child of God, listen to this statement. If you don't get anything else tonight, get this statement right here. Mark it down. The day that you and I take a day off as fleshly men and women walking with God. And it's not some great mystery walking with God. You say, Brother Dallas, what are you talking about when you say walking with God? I'm talking about reading our Bible every day. I'm talking about praying every day. I'm talking about dying to the flesh and being led by the Spirit every day. I'm talking about being a faithful witness every day. Mark it down. The day that you and I take a day off as fleshly men and women from walking with God, the world, the flesh, and the devil do not take a day off in bringing temptation in our lives and trying to knock us off kilter in living for God and bringing honor and glory to Him instead of a shame and reproach. Can I say tonight, church, just like you and I need a physical bath every single day of our life, we need a spiritual bath every single day of our life where we come in contact with the washing of the water every single day of our lives. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. You understand, when we're saved by the grace of God, I heard a preacher say this some time ago. He said, when I got saved by the grace of God, he said, all these people always want to say, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. He said, but when I got saved, I got out of the sinning business. I took about 3 or 4 steps away from it because lightning was about to strike him, amen. You understand, we should strive for perfection. But we are perfect in the sight of God, but we will not be perfect until we stand before God in heaven one of these days, my friend. And just because you and I are saved, we still live in this stuff called the flesh every single day of our life. And we have to die to this flesh and be led by the Spirit of God. Look at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Look at Joshua chapter 24. Let me get there. You know the verse, but I want you to see it. Joshua 24, look at verse number 15. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Now I want you to pay attention to this next word. Whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you see what Joshua said? He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You understand? Not if you will serve, but whom you will serve. Because you and I will serve somebody. We will either serve God or we will serve the world, the flesh, or the devil. And we will not serve someone and we will not follow someone that we know nothing about and we are not walking with. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 12. With me tonight, laying a foundation. We're gonna lay a lengthy foundation and do some quick preaching here in just a minute. Amen. Look at Psalm chapter 12 with me. Psalm chapter number 12. Can I say tonight, we're talking about revival tonight, church. We can point our finger at the world, the reason we're not seeing revival in America. We can point at the homosexual crowd. We can point it at the liquor crowd. We can point it at the Washington, D.C. crowd. And can I say, all those crowds are problems in America. But I believe with all my heart, the true problem with America is those of us that sit in Baptist churches just like this. We have forgotten what it is to hate sin and Satan and love the Lord and righteousness. And until God's people get right with God, we'll never see revival in America, amen. J. Frank Norris said this in that great big church that he pastored in Texas. He said this church will experience revival when a few of God's people will get thoroughly right with the holy triune God. Look at Psalm chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1 with me. Look what David the psalmist said. He said, help, Lord. It would do us good just to utter those two words every now and then, wouldn't it? Help, Lord. I can't do it in my own efforts. I can't do it in my own energy. I can't do it in my own ambitions. Just help, Lord. Then look what he goes on to say. For the godly man ceaseth. How do you and I become godly in this wicked world again? Very simple. Read our Bible, pray, be in church when we're supposed to be in church, walking with God. That's how we become godly. But look what he said. For the godly man ceaseth. Then look what he goes on to say. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. Can I say tonight, child of God? Can I say to the one that used to walk with God, but you're not walking with God now, or the one that's just living off the Christian life, off the excitement right now, my friend, if you never develop a walk with God, or if you have stopped walking with God, and godliness has ceased in your life, faithfulness will soon follow, amen. You say, well, Brother Dallas, I love Calvary Baptist Church. I love the preaching of Pastor Evans. I love the people of this church. Can I say, you may love this place with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, but my friend, if you don't find out what it is to become godly in this wicked world, you may not find yourself next year's revival, amen. You may not be sitting in the same place, amen. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. On Friday nights back home in Lexington, I teach an addictions outreach. And I'm trying to teach those men that just because you're saved, thank God that's the greatest miracle that ever happened in our lives, but it's not a cure-all, amen. We still have to suffer the consequences of our past sins. And we still have to live in this old flesh and find out either to let the flesh rule and reign our lives or let the Spirit of God rule and reign our lives. And I told those men, I told those ladies in that addiction outreach, I said, I'll just put a time limit on it. I said, it's probably not even this long. I said, but you give Chris Dallas 30 days and lay that Bible down. Don't even open that Bible for 30 days. Don't get on my knees in prayer for 30 days. Don't darken the house of God for 30 days. I said, if I find out what it is not to read my Bible, not to pray, not to go to the house of God for 30 days. I said, Chris Dallas is capable of committing the most heinous, wicked, ungodly sins of the one that's in the Kentucky State Prison tonight. And child of God, you are too, because why? Our flesh is wicked, it's vile, it's sinful. And my friend, I don't want the flesh to rule and reign my life, but I want the Spirit of God to rule and reign my life. Amen. The importance of walking with God. Very quickly, here's the message. First of all, can I say, walking with God, it's a reverent time. That word reverent, it means feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. Let's just take the fellows here tonight. Whether you love them or whether you hate them, can I say, if the Secretary of the White House were to call any of us fellows tonight and said that the President of the United States wanted to set up a meeting with us on Friday morning at 9 o'clock, if we had any sense at all about us, we'd probably go to that meeting, wouldn't we? We'd shine our shoes. We'd iron our shirt. We'd comb our hair. We'd brush our teeth. We'd dab a little bit of cologne on. We'd be 15 minutes early. And we'd make sure that nothing or no one would interfere with our meeting with the President of the United States. Can I say, as much as I respect the position of the President of the United States and as much as I pray for the President of the United States, there's one that is far more important and has done far more for me and for you, that wants to set up a meeting with us today and tomorrow and as long as life is in our body. And I'm talking about the God of all heaven and earth. He wants to walk and talk with us a long life's stairway. Are you listening to me tonight, child of God? I'm talking about the one that created man in his image and likeness, is the one that said, come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm talking about the same God, the Bible says in the Old Testament, that the tabernacle could not even contain all of his glory, is the same God that wants to meet with us in a prayer closet. And the same God that heard the prayer and answered the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that will hear and answer our prayer as well. The same God that brought Joseph out of prison and made his dreams reality is the same God that brought us up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and established our goings. And the same God that said, let not your heart be troubled, is the same God that said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And as important as God is, and as much as he has done for us, don't tell me how much you love him. Don't tell me how much you adore him if you're not willing to walk with him. And he has set a place for us at his table, and we don't even have enough decency to show up and commune and fellowship a while. You want me to tell you when the storms are raging? You want me to tell you why you're ready to throw in the towel when you go through the valleys of life? I'll tell you why. Because you don't have that closeness. You don't have that fellowship with the one that can get you through the storms of life, that can get you through the valleys of life. Our friend, he wants to walk with us and talk with us every single day of our life. But I'll tell you, why we're always a basket case in the Christian life is because we don't have the closeness to the one that can help us get through those valleys. It's a reverent time. Not only is it a reverent time, second of all, very quickly, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. Just trying to teach us something from the Word of God tonight. Ephesians. Talking about reverent time. If there's anything that's very special to my wife, it's when I'm at home on Thursdays and Fridays. And my wife loves supper time with her husband on Thursday nights and Friday nights. And can I say I'm pretty fond of it too, amen? But you know, when I sit down there at supper, I have to clarify this. I'm not talking about a liquor bar. I'm talking about the bar in the kitchen. She don't want to sit down at the bar, Brother Evans. She don't want to sit in the living room. She wants to sit at the kitchen table. She don't want a cell phone there at the kitchen table. She don't want a computer there at the kitchen table. She don't want any other form of communication there at the kitchen table. She just wants her and I to spend time with one another. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and that Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, that closet's not talking about clothes hanging from the top to the bottom. But God's saying, I want to designate a place with you each and every day. And when he says, shut thy door, in today's vernacular, he means shut the cell phones off. Shut the computers off. Shut every other form of communication off. It's a reverent time. Second of all, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. Number two, it's a redeeming time. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word circumspectly in the scripture there, it means to look around cautiously. It means to avoid mistakes and bad consequences. You understand, the only way that you and I can redeem time is to buy back in advance. Child of God, do you understand, other than our salvation, you know what the most valuable thing in life other than our salvation is? It's time. You understand, time can never be bought back. Last year's time and last year's opportunities, they're gone. Last week's time and last week's opportunities, they're gone. It cannot be replaced once it's gone. But you and I can redeem the time in our walk with God. You say, Brother Dallas, how do I do that? I'll tell us how. On purpose, by schedule, be disciplined and dedicated to walk with God. Listen to this statement. If you and I do not purpose in our heart that we are going to walk with God and make it a part of our daily schedule, mark it down. You or I will not walk with God. Walk with God takes work. It doesn't just naturally happen. And I'm not against a person having a devotional book. But can I say tonight, a 30 or 45 second devotion and you're done is not going to make you a spirit-filled child of God. But set us a significant alone time with God in this book, on our knees and getting involved with what God wants to do in our lives. That will do more for us than what we even realize tonight. I'm talking about some significant time alone with God. The reason that God's people don't walk with God is because they don't schedule to walk with God. I like this statement. This statement is by my preacher, Brother Fugit. He said, schedule may oftentimes seem boring, but the victory and success that comes from it is very enjoyable. We would all be surprised tonight what 20 minutes in our Bible and 10 minutes on our knees would do for each and every one of us. Not only is it a reverent time, not only is it a redeeming time, but turn your Bibles to Psalm 1. I'm almost finished. Psalm 1. I praise God, not only is it a reverent time and a redeeming time, but praise God, walking with God, it's a rewarding time. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Says, can I say tonight, child of God, you and I are as close to God as we want to be close to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. My wife and I, about 6 months ago, we moved to Lexington, Kentucky. We just packed up our belongings. We knew it was God's will for us to move to that part of the country, but we hadn't even found a house yet. My wife willingly, and she knew she was just following me as God laid it on my heart. She willingly packed up all of our belongings in a U-Haul truck. We moved clear across the other side of the country from Oklahoma to Kentucky. And the church allowed us to be, they owned a little house there down from the church, and they allowed us to stay there until we found a home. And I've always been an earlier riser than my wife, and I got up early that morning, and I walked upstairs, and I sat in my chair like I always do and began to read my Bible and began to pray. And we were in the process. We've already found a home, and we were just getting ready to sign the paperwork. And I was reading my Bible and I was praying early that morning, and Nikita got up about an hour and a half later. She walked upstairs and she walked right past me, walked to the other side and sat in her chair, and she began to read her Bible and she began to pray. And I began to think, as we were in the process of buying a home and I watched her reading her Bible and I was reading my Bible, I began to think that it takes physical work to buy a house, but it takes spiritual work to have a home. You want me to tell you tonight, husbands and wives, I'm not some great couples retreat speaker whatsoever. There's only one thing that I know about being married. There's only one thing I know. I know that men and women are completely different. Amen. I do know that. But I will tell you this. You want me to tell you why there's always bickering and fussing and fighting in the home? You want me to tell you why it almost seems like it's hell on earth at home? Is because, I tell you, ma'am, instead of letting God be on his throne, you put yourself on the throne. And sir, instead of letting God be on his throne, you put yourself on the throne. And when you and your wife or your husband are on each other's throne, it's going to be constant bickering and fighting. But if we'll take ourselves off the throne and put God on his throne, ma'am, and put God on his throne, sir, then the God of peace will allow peace to be in the home. Amen. It's a reverent time. It's a redeeming time. It's a rewarding time. And lastly, I finish. Walking with God is a repeated time. You understand, walking with God is never a finished work. We never reach some elevated plane where we never need God to work anymore in our lives. I told you it was something that you learned in junior church. You remember the song when you was a kid in church? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. I was preaching in Houston, Texas some time ago. There was a preacher that got up to preach one night. His name was Brother Dan Matter. Brother Matter had been saved at that time for over 50 years and been preaching for over 30. He made a very bottom-of-the-shelf statement, but it was also profound at the same time. He said, church, he said, you know how I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a Christian and these last 30 years as a preacher? He said, it's not because I'm a great pulpiteer. He said, it's not because I've got some magnificent prayer life. He said, it's not because I'm a super Christian. He said, the reason I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a Christian and these last 35 years as a preacher because of three reasons. He said, I've learned what it was to read my Bible every day. He said, I've learned what it was to pray every day. And he said, I've learned what it was to be at church when I was supposed to be at church. Can we be reminded there's a danger to inconsistency? Just ask King David. King David should have been leading his troops in a battle, but he tarried still in Jerusalem, the Bible says. And as a result of David's inconsistency, he committed a sin that forever altered his life and the lives of all others around him. Let's stand all across the building tonight as the pianist would come to play. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want us to do this tonight. I want us to do this tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed all across the building. I want us to do this tonight. If you're physically able, I just want you to step out right where you're at, and I want us to meet at the altar tonight, God's people to meet at the altar tonight if you're physically able. You say, oh, Brother Dallas, I already read my Bible. I already pray every day. That's fine. But why don't we dedicate ourselves in 2019 that we're going to be closer to God in 2019 than we were in 2018. And there's no telling what the God of heaven will not only do in your family, but he'll do in this church if we'd find out what it is to have a closeness to God like we've never had before. Just dedicate yourself, child of God. Can I say, if there's somebody here tonight that's at the altar in your pew that you hadn't been reading your Bible for months, you hadn't been praying, or you've never really developed a walk with God, the biggest mistake you'll make is coming down this altar and say, okay, God, for 2 hours every morning I'm going to read my Bible on my knees, and for 3 hours I'm going to pray. Don't do that. Don't set yourself up for failure. I don't know what the time frame is, but could I say if you're not reading your Bible at all, I believe God would be just pleased if you'd find out what it is to read the proverb of the day and to pray and just acknowledge the God of heaven's in control of your life instead of you being in control.